This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and dare we say that the initiation of that event is declared this week. This week, 15 more countries urge recognition of a Palestinian state. And you may think, well, it's just about Palestine, it's just about Gaza, it's just about... No, it's not. It's a much bigger picture. And we're going to see that bigger picture here today on Viewpoint. In a joint statement issued late Tuesday, following a conference in New York, the foreign ministers of Andorra, Australia, Canada, Finland, France, Iceland, Ireland, Luxembourg, Malta, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, San Marino, Slovenia, and Spain urge global recognition of a Palestinian state and an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as an essential step toward what they call the two-state solution, the minister said, while calling for the release of all hostages held by Hamas. They called on other nations to join their push and stress the need to unify Gaza and the West Bank under the Palestinian Authority, taking away what God has declared through his promise to Abraham, reaffirmed in Isaac and reconfirmed in Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, that all of that land belonged to God and was declared by God as an eternal leasehold to Israel. The nations of the earth now have declared war against God through an intermediary called Israel. On Tuesday, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said that the UK would recognize a Palestinian state unless Israel acts to end the appalling situation in Gaza. But as of March, 147 of the 193 UN member states, including Russia, officially recognized Palestine, and Moscow's position dates all the way back to 1988 under the Soviet Union. 147 as of March. Now another 15 urge recognition, but it's more than that. It's more like another 20 or more, which would bring 167 of the 193 UN member states. In other words, the world is aggregating its will against the God of history. Even so-called Christian Europe, even so-called Christian Britain. And so today, we take a look at this confrontation. This is not the war of the worlds. This is the war of the world against God. And we need to understand it that way, because if we don't, we're not going to understand the trajectory that is taking place right in front of our eyes. It is unbelievable. Pretoria's foreign minister, that is in South Africa, said peace is impossible with Israel's genocidal actions in Gaza. Genocidal is their viewpoint or opinion justifying a Palestinian state. South African Foreign Minister Ronald Lamola has called for a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in an address at a high-level UN conference aimed at advancing concrete steps toward peace, which from their viewpoint necessitates a two-state solution, which up until the last year was deemed dead. Thirdly, he said preserving the viability of the two-state solution must include promoting safeguards such as the full respect for international law, including international humanitarian law and human rights law. It is necessary, he said, for the full implementation of resolutions of the United Nations and the provisional measures, as well as advisory opinions of the International Court of Justice. In other words, bringing against Israel, i.e. the surrogate for God in this instance, bringing against them the full force of the nations of the world. The minister said all states, not just Israel, must follow their collective obligations under international law. So the international law that they're calling for is a law that completely negates God's eternal leasehold to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, of which the meets and bounds were declared very clearly by God to extend from the southern part of Lebanon all the way down to Egypt, and from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River, cutting through a major portion of Syria. In other words, the whole Gaza Strip, the so-called West Bank, all of those areas are part of the land that God deeded through an eternal leasehold to Israel by his unwavering, irrefutable declaration as God, who says, I change not. We're looking at something here that is profound, my friends. The UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, said statehood for the Palestinians is a right, not a reward. Where he gets that, I do not know, because there is no such thing as a Palestinian people per se. He said the only realistic, just, and sustainable solution is two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security within secure and recognized borders on the basis of the pre-1967 lines, with Jerusalem as the capital of both in line with international law, UN resolutions, and other relevant agreements, Guterres said. He implored the international community not only to keep the two-state solution alive, but to take the urgent, concrete, and irreversible steps necessary to make it real. Notice he said irreversible steps. Here is a man heading up as the United Nations Secretary General, declaring himself to be equal with God. God says, my word shall not return void. I change not. But Mr. Guterres says he is asking for the nations now, the United Nations, to take irreversible steps. In other words, steps that cannot be changed. What he's doing is setting himself, perhaps unwittingly, against the very God who created humanity in his image. This is the utmost arrogance and chutzpah ever conceived by humankind. And it is exactly what God said to the ancient prophets would take place. And so again, once again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. It's conversation as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today is no exception. Can we expect God to look askance at these declarations coming from the leaders of the nations of the earth, including the leader of the United Nations? I think not. What would be his response? What would be God's response in this declaration of war, chutzpah, against him? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Viewpoint does determine destiny, friends, whether it's the viewpoint of individual persons, whether it's the viewpoint of leaders of the nations of the earth, whether it's the viewpoint of Israel, whether it's the viewpoint, our viewpoints determine destiny. They really do. And the viewpoint of the world now has become so anti-biblical, so anti God and so anti-Israel that stands in the, shall we say, the place of God, so to speak. I want to be careful when I say this, because God has ordained Israel as his chosen people, whether or not they're doing righteously at the moment. He's not approving unrighteousness, but he has made a declaration that in and through the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, should all the nations of the earth be blessed. The nations of the earth now are saying, not so fast. We don't consider it a blessing. We don't want to have anything to do with this Israel. He or she is the odd man out. These Jewish people have always been the odd man out, and we're not going to play games here. We're going to declare a two-state solution. We're going to give land that God specifically declared to be the eternal inheritance of the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. We're going to give that land to another people group that have as their goal the destruction of Israel. That's what they're saying. But we're going to do that claiming that somehow it is going to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and resolve the so-called crisis in the Middle East. That's where it stands. I received a letter from a friend of mine, Pastor David Decker, who lives in Jerusalem, has lived there for over 40 years. And he says, the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, now controls 80% of Gaza. All distribution of food and medicine throughout Gaza is now 100% under the full control of Israel. This new reality, he said, ensures that the supplies get to the 2.1 million civilians there and that the terror groups no longer control the supply. Despite fake media reports to the contrary, there is no starvation in Gaza. To the contrary, despite many attempts by armed terrorists to stop the distribution, the civilian population there now has better access to nutritious food and vital medicines than ever before. Israel hopes to utterly abolish all armed terrorism inside of Gaza by the end of this year, 2025, he writes. Additionally, he said, meanwhile, about 50 hostages taken from Israel remain in Gaza as prisoners, being held under terrible duress. Sadly, at least half of these, in fact, I think 30 of the 50 are feared to be no longer alive, and Israel's determined to bring all of these 50 home dead or alive. That is a portion of the email that Pastor David Decker sent to me on July 28th. So it's radically different. That viewpoint is radically different than what you're hearing on the news media. And the reason for that, one of the main reasons for that, is that the world has an agenda, a goal, a declared goal, to refuse to honor what the Bible specifically says, what God specifically said concerning the land of Israel, referred to by the Jews as Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, the land of promise, refuse to acknowledge that and say, no, Israel isn't going to be entitled to that. They have what they're going to get. That's the best they're going to get. And we're going to take the rest of the land from them, including the West Bank, which now is called, instead of Judea and Samaria, which was the heartland of ancient Israel, biblical Israel, the world now looks at that as the West Bank. If you give it another name, then it must be different. No, a name, just a name that you give it doesn't change the essence or the truth of it. And so it is Judea and Samaria, which is the heartland of ancient Israel, together with Gaza, all of which is part of the land that was specifically given by God to Israel, including southern Lebanon, where Hezbollah has been launching rockets for years against Israel, and including a major portion of Syria that has been a constant threat to Israel, going all the way over to the Euphrates River. I urge you to take a look at the map and see what the land of Israel, Eretz Israel, from God's viewpoint, really looks like. It's about three times, at least three times the size of current Israel as we know it. At least three times the size. That having been considered, despite all of the wars and rumors of wars, the war with Iran, and all of this upset with Gaza and Hamas and all of that, thousands of Jews are migrating to Israel. It's interesting. Over 2,000 new immigrants were expected to arrive in the Jewish state this summer, and this is something that God said was going to happen. We call it making Aliyah. That means to go up to Jerusalem, to go up to Israel. And everything going toward Israel and going toward Jerusalem, from the Jewish perspective, means to go up. Now, interestingly, there's been a sharp rise in Aliyah interest. They've received over, since October 7th, they've received over 13,000 new filed requests. Over 4,400 from North Americans have already made Aliyah since the start of that war, and the momentum continues to grow. Now, why is that? Because God said it was going to happen. That's why. Why would people go there when the tensions seem to be mounting? Because God is drawing them. He said he would. The prophets told us about that. Jeremiah gave a very explicit picture of that. He said, God is going to fulfill this covenant, this promise to bring the people back to the land, whether or not they're following him, whether or not they're doing his will, he's going to bring them back because he's going to honor his name and his promise. Not because they're so great, not because they're following him with a whole heart, but because he's going to keep his promise, whether they do or not. In other words, God's word is his bond. So he's bringing them back and has been bringing them back since 1948 and before. And now, even in the midst of tensions and war and threatenings of war and rockets, red glare, the bombs bursting in air, they're still coming. Jeremiah said this, or God said through Jeremiah, I will send out hunters and fishers all over the world to gather them together in the land of promise, Eretz Israel. I will do it, God said. Whatever it takes, send out hunters and fishers. Well, anti-Semitism is one of those hunters and fishers. And as anti-Semitism is growing and become normative in the West, it's fascinating the dynamics of what is taking place. At the same time, this week, 1,200 participants completed a circuit of the Temple Mount gates. They came from all over the country. 1,200 men, women, and children from across Israel took part in a gate tour surrounding the Temple Mount, the revered site of the ancient Jewish temple. It was a very solemn and respectful atmosphere due to the 9 days, the first 9 days of this particular Hebrew month, culminating in what is known as the Fast of Tisha B'Av. The Fast of Tisha B'Av is the remembrance of the horrific things that have happened to Israel, particularly as regard to the temple and the Temple Mount, historically over the years. God is going to fulfill his promise concerning the temple. In fact, if you read in the book of Malachi, he says the Lord himself will suddenly come to his temple that doesn't exist there. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. And who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, and he is going to purify. The prophet Malachi. We also know from the apostle Paul, who writes to the Thessalonians, saying that in the last days, this Antichrist, counterfeit Christ figure, is going to march into a rebuilt temple, the third temple, and he's going to declare himself God. There can't be, he can't do that unless the temple is rebuilt. Something is going to happen geopolitically that is going to enable that temple to be rebuilt. It is the most desired, most sought after event in world in Israel's history, in their minds and in their hearts. There's nothing greater to draw them than the rebuilding of the temple. So, all of this is taking place at the time when the nations of the earth now have decided to collectivize themselves in one final push, which I call a war against God. The United Nations surround Israel. The United Nations surround Israel. Now, that having been said, I direct your attention to the book of Zechariah, just before the book of Malachi, chapter 12. Here's what God says. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, who stretcheth forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Oh, all the people of the earth. Sounds like the United Nations, doesn't it? Now about 167 of the 196 nations have declared that they are going to support a Palestinian state to deprive Israel under international law of the ability to occupy, to care for, to declare that that land still belongs to them under a God-deeded eternal leasehold. The land actually it belongs to God. God says over and over again, the land is mine. The land is mine. So what the nations of the earth are determining to do is actually declare war on God to take over his land. It's very simple. We need to understand it in those kinds of terms. You cannot play games with the terms. You cannot say yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. You have to understand it for what it really is. It is a declaration of war against God. That the nations of the earth, their godless leaders, have the chutzpah, the incredible boldness to shake their fists in the face of the God of creation and say, it doesn't matter to us what you have said, this is what we are declaring, and we're going to make it happen. And we're going to compel Israel to obey our voice on penalty of whatever it happens to be. But the Lord says in Zechariah chapter 12, he will save the tents of Judah first. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. Notice what it says. The house of David shall be as God. Now, that's a very interesting phrase. So when I have declared and stated for this program that this is a war against God, the United Nations surround Israel, what they're really doing is attempting to surround God and dare God to act. But God says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Interesting. So, the lines have been drawn, friends, prophetically, historically, and for the future, shortly to come. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we're talking about the nations of the earth declaring war against God. And one by one, and now they're grouping together, collectivizing themselves to declare war against God by declaring essentially war against Israel. The United Nations are surrounding Israel geopolitically, and the implications are not good. The Jerusalem Post contained this article today. Anti-Semitism is being normalized in America as free speech. Chief Rabbi of the United Kingdom, Sir Ephraim Mervis, yesterday condemned the British government's stated intention to recognize a Palestinian state, warning that such a move would undermine efforts to achieve peace and embolden Hamas. The UK government's position, he said, imposes a clear ultimatum on Israel by placing no similar demands on Hamas. Notice a clear ultimatum. That is, you either do our will or else. He said this is an unfathomable misstep, a profound betrayal. He stated, this chief rabbi stated, that many in the Jewish community see the move as a profound betrayal of Israel's effort to live free of terror on its borders. He warned that such steps risk emboldening extremist elements both in the Middle East and in the UK. As is often the case, he said, when the Jewish state appears more vulnerable, extremists at home and abroad are emboldened, and Jewish people are more vulnerable as a result. He's framed his remarks within the context of the Jewish calendar, with Tish B'Av, the annual fast day, commemorating the destruction of the first and second temples approaching this weekend. He invoked the traditional words of warning. All of this is happening right on the eve of the annual remembrance of Tish B'Av, the destruction of the two previous temples of Israel, and numerous other horrific events that have happened geopolitically against Israel. The timing is not to be mistaken, friends. Just not to be mistaken. Now, yesterday, the Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney announced the country's intentions to recognize Palestinian statehood at the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly in September. So September is the focus time. All of these statements are from the nations of the world are now calculated to focus with intensity like a laser beam on the United Nations General Assembly in New York in September. The German foreign minister has just come out and said the process to recognize Palestinian state must begin now. He said Berlin will respond to unilateral steps. He said this today. His remarks mark Germany's strong warning yet to Israel as Western nations intensify efforts to exert pressure. The word pressure is translated in the King James Bible as tribulation. This, my friends, is the launching of the pre Great Tribulation. Not the Great Tribulation now, the launching of it, which is a period preceding the Great Tribulation. Whether you want to call it a period of tribulation or not, the Bible doesn't specifically refer to it that way. The Bible only refers to a Great Tribulation right there in Matthew chapter 24. But there is a period leading up to that that is a period of increasingly great pressure. It's a pressure upon Israel, the Jewish people, by reason of their chosenness, the envy of the world, whether or not they're living according to the word, the will, and the ways of the God who made and preserved them a nation is not the point. God will eventually deal with them, and we'll find out how God is going to deal with them according to his viewpoint in his justice system. That's not the responsibility of the world. That's not your responsibility, and it's not mine. Our responsibility is to embrace God's viewpoint concerning Israel. First, concerning Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, and secondly, concerning the spiritual promise that in and through the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would the nations of the earth be blessed, which means through Yeshua, Jesus himself, who was of the seed of Abraham by faith and the seed of David by lineage. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I urge you to do that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. So, now we find from the Russian Times. You see, Russia's been choreographing a lot of this, and going all the way back to 1988, when Russia was still known as the Soviet Union, they had declared a Palestinian state. The events of October 7th, 2023, says the Russian Times, became a turning point after which Israel's far-right government set a course toward the final elimination of the Palestinian issue. Again, they're declaring a viewpoint here. Despite the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza, by the way, which they refused to say was begun by an unprovoked attack by Hamas, killing 1,200 innocent people, which is the equivalent in the United States of over 40,000. Putting it in perspective. But they're talking about the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza that was begun by Hamas, which they refuse to acknowledge. The Israel authorities continue their offensive, disregarding both international law and numerous calls for a ceasefire. In other words, Israel is supposed to succumb to the will of the world, the will of the nations of the world, who aren't the ones having to defend against the unprovoked attacks of Hamas, that has dedicated itself in its founding documents to the destruction of Israel. So, the article coming from the Russian Times today says the international community, including the UN and leading humanitarian organizations, has voiced strong condemnation of the ongoing events. Yet external pressure has so far failed to produce any significant changes. Instead of moving toward resolution, the conflict is spiraling deeper into a crisis of unprecedented scale and brutality. Well, indeed it is. Why? Because Hamas refuses to surrender. Hamas refuses to give up the hostages, in fact, has killed more than half of them. But the world seems to have forgotten that and doesn't even care, because Israel is a veritable irrelevancy to the rest of the world. They do not see Israel from God's viewpoint. They just see it as a trouble spot, and if we can just get rid of that trouble spot, we can all live happily ever after. That's their viewpoint. So, the Russian Times goes on to say, on July 18, 2024, the Knesset there in Israel, the Israeli parliament, approved a resolution formalizing Israel's official position against the creation of a Palestinian state. The document passed by a majority vote established the Israeli parliament's principled stance that Palestinian statehood constitutes an existential threat to the very state of Israel and its citizens. Indeed, it does. Following the declaration against Palestinian statehood and the assertion of the West Bank's principled belonging to the Jewish people came another step deepening the course toward the de facto annexation of occupied territory, says the Russian Times. On July 23, 2025, just a few days ago, the Knesset passed a new resolution. The document explicitly proclaims the intention to extend Israeli sovereignty over the entire territory of the West Bank, that is Judea and Samaria, and to initiate the legal integration of this land into Israel's administrative and legal system. The resolution received the support of 71 lawmakers, with only 13 voting against. Now, this is a distillation from the extensive article from the Russian Times saying Israel will wipe Palestine off the map. But will it stop there? The point here is, and this is what the Russian Times refuses to acknowledge, and that is that God's already declared what land belongs to Israel. And it includes the so-called West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, the biblical Israel. It also includes the Gaza Strip. It also includes southern Lebanon, from which Hezbollah has been launching all of its rockets. It also includes a significant portion of Syria. All the way over to the Euphrates River. It includes the land from north, the southern part of Lebanon, all the way to Egypt on the south, and from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River. That is Eretz Israel. From God's perspective, not from the Russians' perspective, not from the UN's perspective, but from God's perspective. So whose perspective matters? Whose viewpoint matters? What's your viewpoint? Does anybody want to see more destruction over there among the people that are occupying the Gaza Strip? No. But they are the ones that voted for Hamas. They're the ones that voted for leadership that had decreed the destruction of Israel. So what is Israel supposed to do? How can the nations of the earth believe for a moment that the establishment of a Palestinian state would, in fact, bring peace? No. All it does is legitimize the effort of a people group who have determined the destruction of Israel. And now we're going to give them legitimacy and allow them to appear as a legitimate nation in the United Nations. So the whole world is against God. The war against God. The UN nations surrounding Israel. That's where it stands as we speak. We'll be right back after this.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
What we're experiencing now in this declaration of war, essential declaration of war by the nations of the earth against God, the God who chose the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a chosen people to represent him on the planet. That battle that war is essentially the foundation for the battle for King of the Mountain. In other words, who will rule and reign over this planet from the Temple Mount? Where there's going to be a rebuilt temple, the nations of the earth desire to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where God chose to place his name there. Did you know that? It's very clear in Scripture. God himself chose to place his name there. Sometimes it's referred to as Mount Zion. Sometimes it's referred to as the Temple Mount. Sometimes it's referred to as Jerusalem. But they're all referring generally to the same thing, the place where God chose to put his name there. Now, who chose to put his name there? God. Does he have a right to do that? Do the nations of the earth and the peoples of the earth have a right to change that designation and to say, no, it's not going to be that way anymore. Things have changed now, and we're in control. Would you have that level of chutzpah in your mind, in your heart, that you would declare that kind of boldness against the God of creation? In other words, you can see there's no fear of God in the land. There's no fear of God in the world. Almost no fear of God. Even in God's own house, church, hardly any fear of the Lord anymore. If there was, we would obey his voice. But the word obey has fallen on very, very hard times in God's own house, the church, and therefore we are complicit in the rebellion against God. Not just Israel. It's not just the nations of the earth. It's the church. Many in the church would say, I don't serve that kind of a God. That's the spirit of Oprah Winfrey. I don't serve a jealous God. I don't serve a God who's in command like that. I serve a God that speaks sweet nothings into my ear constantly. No, God is God. And he has made it very plain in his word throughout all the prophets leading up to Jesus himself, and then through Jesus, what was going to take place. And it is taking place as we speak. This week is a profound week in the history of the world, in biblical prophecy, in the merger of biblical prophecy with history. The trajectory of history is moving inexorably to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And the world doesn't even seem to grasp it. In fact, they're heading headlong right into the maelstrom that is described in the scriptures. The Jerusalem Post asked this question today. Why is Europe rewarding Hamas terror with a Palestinian state? Why are they doing that? Well, they have, after Hamas terrorists butchered, raped, burned, and kidnapped their way across southern Israel, the international community is responding by granting them their own state. Terrorism is to be rewarded. Well, that's a viewpoint, you see. But the viewpoint of the rest of the world is, we don't care. We just want peace at any price. We don't care what God has said, and we don't care about these people, Israel. They're parenthetical in our thoughts. In fact, we don't much like them. So we're going to pretend that we're law-abiding. We're going to pretend that we're peace-loving. But we're going to take a completely different view from that which God has declared in his word. And we're going to take by force the land which God specifically deeded to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, known as Eretz Israel. We're going to specifically take that land and give it to a people that have self-identified themselves as the Palestinian people. There is no such historical people group in the world in history, but that's how they're self-identified, and the world chooses to do that in order to accomplish an agenda that is totally contrary to God's viewpoint. So you can see how viewpoint determines destiny. So let's see what God has to say about this. Again, in the book of Zechariah, we have read from Zechariah chapter 12. We've read from Zechariah chapter 14. Now we're going to read some more passages from Zechariah chapter 14. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Jerusalem, by the way, being used in this sense like Washington, D.C. Fought against Washington means fight against the United States. So fighting against Jerusalem is to fight against Israel. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their own feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together. And it shall come to pass ultimately that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles refers ultimately to the return of Christ, because it's talking about the presence of the Lord. It's the final feast of Israel, the final of the fall feast, the seven feasts of the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a celebration of the coming of the Lord. These things then are ushering in, they're the precursors to the return of Christ. And we're now moving into the season in which the Jewish people worldwide are celebrating or remembering the three fall feasts, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets, the warning of judgment, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. All of this is happening now as the United Nations is preparing during exactly this same season, basically to declare war against God, to fulfill the very things that Zechariah the prophet spoke about here. Unbelievable. It's hard for me to fathom how people, leaders of nations and so on, that even had their roots in the scripture, can be so hardened, so blinded in their own minds and hearts, that they would dare, even conceive to dare, to put themselves in this ultimate standoff with the God of history. It's unbelievable to me. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even Jerusalem, which it is. The Lord shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord. Which reminds us of what God said through the prophet Balaam 3,000 years earlier in Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, that Israel would not be reckoned among the nations. Israel would not be reckoned among the nations. Are you beginning to get the picture? The whole world now is declaring themselves the enemy of God through God's representation or representatives, Israel. Now, what's going to happen with regard to Israel? Do they have any problem? Does God have any problem with Israel? Yes, he does. He has a big problem with Israel because they don't keep his word, and he has a serious problem with Israel, a very serious problem indeed. And we know that he declares through the prophet Zechariah, it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein, that is in Israel. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them at that time, and will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's God's responsibility to judge Israel, his people. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to bless them, do what we can to agree with God's viewpoint, not come against God's viewpoint, because we're elevating our own thoughts, our own viewpoint, our own feelings, and so on. That's not our job. Our job is to agree with God. His job is to bring discipline against his people. And through the discipline, they ultimately, as the scripture says, will come out looking upon him whom they have pierced. And there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, their wives apart, and so on. And all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. In other words, the grief that is going to take place in Israel, notwithstanding the fact that God chose them, the grief that is going to take place is going to be so great when they realize that Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, their Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, was indeed the Messiah. They're not even going to be able to weep, grieve together. They're going to grieve separately. That's the end of that story. But in the meantime, the battle for King of the Mountain rages, friends. And if you don't have the book, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic and end time battle, you must get it to help understand the greater picture that is now taking place. $15 will put that $20 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. King of the Mountain, the eternal epic and end time battle. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.